Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Schools out of control. Schools out of perspective. That's my topic. I'm going to take a look at a couple different sources and research studies and look at it from the perspective of what's the best interest of the child. You know, in Southern California, a charter school hired a lady to be a piano teacher, to be a music teacher for the school. It was a charter school. And she was a local piano teacher, and everybody knew her, and the parents advocated for her to be hired. The parents were using her as a piano teacher for their children on their own and wanted her to be as part of the charter school and offer a music program for the charter school. So the charter school interviewed her, had her go through all of the background check. She obtained a business license, and she met all the legal requirements to be hired. And in fact, she was hired. But there was a condition. She had to rip up and throw away all of her music that had any religious orientation or religious connotation to it. That is, any music from Bach, any music that was Christmas music, any music that was like Negro spirituals or Southern gospel or that kind of music, or anything that would, the classics like Amazing Grace. All of that kind of music was identified, and she had to throw it out, or certainly not bring it to the school in teaching the children of that particular charter school. Well, you know what happened. She wasn't really fully hired. She was conditionally hired, but wouldn't agree to those terms. So she is now in a battle of legality, suing the school for her own rights to be able to teach in a manner that would be in her best interest and her best judgment as a teacher. See, teachers have a certain degree of autonomy in their own teaching as to what is best for the student and what is their best way of teaching so that they're effective. And then if they're effective, our kids will be effective. But here's a principle of Sky Mountain Charter School in Southern California, who knew better, who thought he knew better, and said that kind of music our kids cannot have, should not have, and will not have. So he's kind of like a helicopter principal. He's like a controlling principal. He's an autocratic principal who knows better than anybody else and realizes that that kind of music will somehow harm the children as compared to advance their education. Where he got that idea, who knows? But that's a case to follow. You can look at it at the Sky Mountain Charter School in Southern California. Keep an eye on it. That's going on even now. But here's a problem for our kids in school. They're struggling in school. They're trying to make it. They're trying to make school a palatable experience. They sign up for music. Music is an important part of a kid's life, important part of an educational program. And then we have a teacher and a principal, I should say, we have a principal who says, you have to do it my way. Well, we'll see how that goes. Now, secondly, let me look at the research studies and the discussions that come forth from a psychologist on the East Coast. His name is William Trexrud. He's a clinical neuropsychologist, and he has done a lot of work with kids, adolescent kids, over the years, and has come up with some observations that I think are important for us to observe and to consider relative to our children. Here's one. They lack sleep. They don't get enough sleep. And secondly, they get too much screen time. That is, time on their internet and their videos and their computers. And then thirdly, the academic demands on kids today create anxiety, you know, create a sense of tension and stress in the lives of kids. Those are three observations. So he's kind of discussing these issues and coming up with some recommendations for parents and how to deal with that. First of all, kids' brains need rest, he says. They need downtime. said kids in the past used to sleep much more than kids today. Kids today are hardly ever getting their 10 hours of sleep, hardly ever getting their 8 hours of sleep, and are more likely sleeping 6 to 7 hours. In other words, you can live on 6 to 7 hours of sleep, but you don't function well, and the brain doesn't develop well, and the brain is stressed and therefore impaired in its development with lack of sleep. Now, first of all, you have to remember that the brain develops until age 25. So if you're putting your brain at stress because of lack of sleep, there will be lifetime consequences of that brain being overly stressed, lack of sleep, and impaired as a result. So kids need to be encouraged. They need to be structured. They need to be directed. They need to be educated on the importance and the value of sleep. It's downtime for the brain. It's turn off time for the brain. Particularly when a kid lives in a very active society, an active world. He's into sports. He's got a heavy academic program, a demanding academic program. Lives a social life that's very demanding. Has a very active family life. Lots of friends. Lots of things he does, going from one thing to another. In other words, the more active the child is, the more that brain is stimulated. But does that brain have downtime? That's the question. And he says if the brain does not have downtime, you're putting that kid at risk and increasing the level of anxiety in the life of that child, that adolescent. Downtime reduces anxiety. The lack of downtime increases anxiety. So we need to kind of look at the connection between downtime and anxiety. Kids need downtime, they need well time, they need quiet time, they need kind of soft time. They need time when their world can be very calm and relaxed and inviting, not stimulating. Okay, that's number one. Make sure your kids have downtime. Okay? Here's another thing that he says that's very important. Our kids are overwhelmed by the fact that they are spending more time on media than they should. In other words, they're creating a stimulation to their brain. They're creating a stress upon the brain. And they are putting themselves at risk. Now, what a parent intends to do is to take control and take charge and tell the child to get off the telephone or get off the internet or get off the video or whatever the kid is doing. Parents tend to take that dictatorial role, just like that principal was doing. And what he is saying is, no. Parents need to serve as a consultant to their kids, particularly their high school kids. You see, kids need to have choices. Kids need to have opportunity to make a decision or to make a choice. Kids need to be informed of options and alternatives, but then being allowed to make that decision. You'll have a much smarter kid, you'll have a much wiser kid, you'll have a much more involved kid, you'll have a more successful kid, you have a more creative kid, if you raise that child with you as the consultant. Now, obviously, as a parent, you play two roles. One is you're a consultant, and the other one is you're the parent. And there's a time when you have to act. There's a time when you have to draw a line. You have the time when you have to enforce the line that you have drawn. You hope that you've drawn that line fairly, and you hope that you've given your child or your adolescent particularly plenty of space to make wise choices and consider alternatives. But it's important as a parent that you see yourself in that consultant role and give your child the experience of making decisions. Give your child that experience of maybe making a decision and then having to reconsider and alter it and change it and correct it and to correct the problem that came as a result of the initial decision. You see, kids need opportunity to learn how to make decisions, how to solve problems, And what we do as a parent, we try to make those decisions for them. We try to tell them which is the problem-solving approach to take, when in fact we should be their best consultant, the person they turn to first for guidance and some direction and some alternatives and some thoughts and some input. But let the decision be made by the child, particularly the adolescent. He says another thing about kids. Parents need to help their children learn how to meditate, learn how to reflect, learn how to just sit back and think and evaluate what's been done today, what's going to be done tomorrow, to be able to meditate and to think through higher ideals and ideas, thinking about quotes from famous people and verses and poetry and so on. Parents need to help children engage in a mental activity of meditation and reflection and mindfulness, giving thought to how they feel, giving thought to how they want to be, giving thought to their innermost being, their innermost feelings, their innermost thoughts, their innermost desires, their inner goals. Giving some thought to that. But you have to sit down and relax. You have to get away from the media. You have to get away from the activity. You have to get away from people and have downtime alone. So you have time to meditate and to think and to consider the best way to live life. Sometimes that happens when you go to bed. Go to bed an hour early. Get your kid to go to bed an hour early with the idea of go and just think. Go and meditate. Just dream and just talk to yourself and just think through your future and options before you and some of the things you'd like to do and some of the things that are important to you and values that are important to you. Give the kid a quote. Give the kid a verse. Give the kid some kind of a ideal to think about and have him go to bed early and just do that. Time alone to think, reflect, meditate. Very important for kids that they engage in that kind of mental activity. He goes on to say this. Kids are obviously fearful. They have a high degree of anxiety. They have fears. Some of those fears are justified. They fear certain people. They fear certain kinds of teachers. They fear a certain kind of peer groups. They fear certain places. You see, psychological research has shown that stress and anxiety are things that go together. The higher your stress, the higher your anxiety. The higher your anxiety, the higher creative stress that you're going to have. So the point is, can a child reduce his own anxiety? Can a child learn to reduce it only by facing his fears? Consider ways in which that fear is unjustified. Consider ways in which that fear is unnecessary, unsupported. Consider ways in which that fear is excessive and overemphasized. And in contrast, help the child understand that the fear is something that he need not be afraid of. That fear is something he can conquer. That fear is something he can face. He can deal with it. He can overcome it. The fear is smaller than he is. Help the child understand that in a very important way. And lastly, the doctor says this. Kids have too much homework. Kids have too much time. Too many demands on them. They're spending much more time for homework than is necessary or is proper. Now, a child might do well by having some homework. Learning how to work alone. Learning how to do independent study. That's true. But if you burden that child with 6 to 8 hours of homework, you probably have defeated the child in the process of learning a very important lesson of how to do independent study. What's the proper amount of extra work that a child should and must have? It's important for a child to do homework. Homework is necessary. It helps a child learn how to make decisions, learn how a child work alone, to do research and to study and to come up with ideas and then put that on paper and write. It's important that kids learn that. But how many hours per night does a kid need to have to learn that? Well, experts put it around 2 hours. Some teachers put it around 6 hours. That's probably excessive. A kid may do well and learn and appreciate and value homework if it's done moderately or reasonably well in terms of the number of hours per night that is being devoted to homework. But if it's excessive, the kid probably develops a hatred for homework, a hatred towards that teacher, a hatred towards that subject, that topic, because it's stressful, overly stressful. And when something is highly stressful and obnoxious to you, you are not drawn to it, you're repelled from it. So the amount of homework per night needs to be monitored and need to be thought through and needs to be negotiated with a teacher. Now, a parent can help as a consultant. A parent can lead the way as a consultant. A parent can show how it's done, how you negotiate, how you talk to teachers as a consultant. But you involve the child so the child learns to be his own advocate. The child learns to be his own assertive advocate. So there you are, kids in our world today. The struggles that are facing our kids and the anxieties that they live with and how we as parents can reduce that anxiety, as we as teachers can reduce that anxiety. We can help a child live effectively, productively, with less anxiety. It's no way to live in a highly productive life with a great deal of anxiety. That's no way to live, because if a child learns that way of living, you got a lifetime of that, and that's not the way to be. To moderate the anxiety, to moderate the stress, but keep a child productive. So that's where we are. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Psychology Report. And what I would certainly want you to do is go to my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. Check out my book, Dr. Teach Me to Parent. A great book for parents to help them put in perspective what a parenting process really should be and an effective parenting process really is. So that's a resource for you, and I encourage you to utilize it, okay? Bye for now.